Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Welcome in, everybody. It's another episode of the DNVR Rapids podcast. I'm your host, Mitchell Carroll, a.k.a. Merchel, a.k.a. I am snowed in. And boy, is there a bunch of it. Coming to you live from snowy Golden, Colorado. I am joined by my esteemed panel of Rapids. First off, Cowboy Super, yeah.
Let's go, guys. This is not a regular pod. This is a Winner's Lounge Part 2.
Correct. Also joining us, it's Downtown Dwayne Brown.
Hello. Hello. Welcome back to the Golden Cave.
Dwayne is alive.
I'm alive. Number one. I'm alive. I'm still trapped in a prison of my own home, but I'm still here.
It's better that it's your own home, though. It's better that it's just you and nobody else.
True.
It is a snow day. We are remote. We are not in the office. I am going from a hotspot on my cell phone, so hopefully my internet holds out long enough because our power is out. But we got a lot to talk about today. We're going to go over some transactions. We're going to go over some international call-ups or not call-ups. We're going to talk about just Rapids on the road. We're going to talk about the Seattle game this weekend, an early kickoff for us. We're not going to start the show at almost 11 p.m. I'm very excited about that. But first, we have to get into, I guess, what is technically the non-Rapids news. But our guy, Jack Price, signs with Shrewsbury Town. He is home. And this is truly going home. Like, I saw some people saying that Ralph Parise went home because he went to Canada, you know, 3,000 miles from his home in Canada. This is as local as it gets for our guy, Jack Price. Seems to be fully recovered, or at least recovered enough to play, right, to get signed and contribute to Shrewsbury Town. What is your guys' reaction to that? Who wants to go first? Who wants to talk about the legend, Jack, finally getting back on the field?
I'll go really quick because I know Dwayne has a little bit longer to do. On this one, congrats for Jack, man. I'm glad that a team out there is giving him a chance. He's still young. Young for being a human, older for being a football player. But I think he still deserves a shot. He deserves to be out there on the pitch and contribute some way or another one to another team. And I just wish him the best. I hope that he does really well out there in his home country. And who knows, he might come back later on and be in that Hall of Great with Marcel Balboa and Drew Moore one day.
Yeah, I think this is awesome. You know, I think a lot of us expected Jack to end up playing at home. And by home, I mean home, like Mitch said. I mean, this is his hometown club. So I think this, and it's a short contract, right? It's just through the end of the season. Mm-hmm. So this is a chance for him to kind of work out the injury, get back into fitness. And I think it's really going to be kind of it's a resume, it's a reel, for next season. Right. So this is the opportunity for him to kind of put it out there that he's, you know, if he's healthy, that he's still got it. And that way he can put it out to whatever teams anywhere, that are looking for, you know, for a Jack Price. So
a lot of teams can use a Jack Price.
Yeah, a lot of teams. So it's a great opportunity. I'm super happy for him. Twitter was blowing up yesterday with support from Rapids fans. You know, everybody's happy to see Jack get another chance. you know, and I wish him well. I hope he crushes it for the what's left of this season and ends up in a real good spot that he can keep playing, finish out that career.
Shrewsbury Town currently eighth from the bottom in League One, probably safe from the relegation zone. I think even the play, so they're about, there's 8 points clear of that. Probably safe, but nice to be in a team that has some urgency, right? Not just in the middle, safe, you know, just a couple months left. Definitely has stuff to play for, gives him some urgency, gives the team some urgency, you know, some competitiveness, even if it's down in League One, which is probably a little lower than he was aiming coming off of his MLS stint. But hopefully, you know, a championship team comes knocking, or, you know, whether it's an MLS team or, you know, lower European league, you know, I think there's another chance to step up over the summer. Shout out to Judgmental Jim in the chat. His Pompeii is, of course, top of League One. Good for him. Portsmouth looking good. Yeah, I'm just happy for Jack. I think that's kind of just what it comes down to. Happy for Jack.
Yeah, also it all comes down to hopefully Jack one day can –
figure my –
I was burping a minute ago, so I'm like, I should probably pick them up a little bit before anybody can hear that. Let me let go of that. But also, like, I see in the future Jack becoming a coach. He has that personality.
Definitely.
He has that Chris Harms personality that's really fun. So
crazy eyes for a good sideline.
Yeah, exactly. He has that intensity and that leadership that makes really good coaches. Hopefully that's something that in the future he can look into a little bit more, whether it's with Shrewsbury, maybe he's an academy coach with the Wolves. Hopefully, and the ideal thing would be him coming back to Colorado, right, and kind of being an assistant like many have followed in that footstep, like a more Sharpie and all these guys. So hopefully one day we can have something like that going on with Jack as well.
That would be so cool, dude. That would be... that'd be unreal. Really hope that happens. Okay. Anything else on Jack real quick? We got a bunch of news to get through in this first segment. So, Dwayne, any other wrap-up thoughts there?
No. I mean, like everybody has said, you know, good luck to you, buddy. We hope you crush it. And then looking forward to seeing where you end up next season. You know, at a higher league and doing great things.
All right, moving on to Rapids transaction. This one comes down. Ralph Parizo traded to Vancouver for a first and a third pick in the MLS Super Draft presented by Adidas and 150K in GAM. Instant reactions, guys. I can go first if you don't have one, but it's not really instant anymore because it's been a few days. Yaya, what did you think about the trade when it came down?
So when it came down, I was a little sad because I am a Parizo believer. I think Parizo's still a guy that can turn into something, maybe not the guy that I thought he would be. But I was also really excited for him, the player, because I don't think he was going to become that guy with the Rapids anymore. I think he kind of lost that that good faith, that pouring, and the coaching staff had with him and was part of that MAC trade. I wish him the best because I really do think he's a talented, talented midfielder. It just didn't work out in Colorado, and I'm hoping the best up north.
Dwayner.
Yeah, I think I was a little surprised too, but it is getting a little bottled up in that area. So, you know, when we had Crookham on, you know, we were always talking, we talked a bit about, you know, the club trying to do what's right for the player. So maybe this is one of those moves where Parizo is going to get minutes and be able to, he's so young still, you know, so that this is still an opportunity for him to start to build his career. You know, he's not at the end of his career by any means. So hopefully this is a great move for him. I think a lot of people on Twitter were kind of saying, you know, like, oh, I'm so glad we're rid of Parizo, and you know, Port fleeced him and everything. And maybe he did fleece him, but I think the value that we got in return with that first and third rounder, plus the GAM, it speaks to the level of respect and value that both clubs still have for Parizo. And so I think that point is lost a lot on this trade. Mm. And I think that, you know, when you're getting that much return for a player that everyone else is ready to kind of cast off to the garbage bin, like, I think it says something. You're not going to throw out all of that for someone you don't believe in. So I still think there's a lot of potential there. I still think he's very young and can still build out that career. So hopefully we see some good things from him. Maybe this is a better spot for him to do that.
I mean, I got to disagree on the people thinking there's value on Parise. I can't believe, you know, I think it's more shows to Porig valuing the draft and proving that he knows what he's doing in the draft. Look at Bombi. We haven't seen the guys from this draft yet, but he cleaned up by, you know, pre-draft standards in terms of who was involved and who came in at the end of that draft. I think it's a steal. I don't see any value in Parise. He's shown nothing in 2 years. He came over as a Robin Fraser guy. He couldn't even break in under Robin Fraser. I mean, he played a little, but didn't do much. Didn't even crack the rotation whatsoever this year. You know, hopefully Vancouver has a plan to get him involved, but I just don't see it. I don't see it at all. I think I don't see him being an impact guy. I see him maybe being a 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there kind of guy. Even in Vancouver, they got some decent midfielders up there. I don't see it. Yeah, am I way off base here?
You're not way off base. I think they are a decent team, but I think there's some truth right in between both of you guys where there's a lot of value for Parise because of the age that he is. He's like, what, 18, 19 years old, and he has had a lot of bright spots, but it's also going to be really hard for him to try to break into a rotation, break into a starting lineup for the same reason that he didn't show up for one of the worst teams in the MLS last year, and he wasn't able to get minutes for them. It's kind of hard to think, oh, this guy that wasn't even used on a really bad team is going to do great on a better team. So it's the truth kind of lies right between you guys. I think there is value, especially because of age and what he has shown. But I think it also comes down to how much of that value is there really, and how much is he going to add to a team that's trying to make a playoff push, trying to go deep into the playoffs as well in Vancouver.
He's 21, turns 22 in August.
Oh wow, he's a lot older than I thought. He's too well, not so a lot. Yeah,
it's not like he's, you know, fresh out of the academy. See how he does against the big guys. He's been doing that for a couple of years and hasn't been able to show out yet. I think physical tools are there. Haven't seen the mentality or the skill. Hopefully for his sake that, you know, a Canadian team showcasing the Canadian national, maybe he can find his way into the Canadian fold there. Any other thoughts before we go into our favorite Canadian?
No, just my last thought on Parise would be it's easy to count him out at what he did with the Rapids, but at the end of the day, I think there's a transition into the next guy we're talking about. It gave you something in return in that Mac trade, even if the piece that you thought was going to be the main key was Parise, he still got something in return. He still gave you something there.
Yeah, the Mac trade continues with another first round pick coming in. I bet you they don't use that third rounder. If they do, it's someone who doesn't make it to next season's roster, just a camp body. The other piece of the Mac trade was the first round pick that turned into Moise Bombido, right? That is the highlight of that trade. Mac's already gone from Toronto. This is what's left of the trade is those two picks coming in the camp and Bombi. Bombi called up to the Canadian national team. The only international called up on the Rapids roster. When you surprised that Bombi's the only one representing country in this break coming up?
Me and Mitch talked about this like briefly yesterday, and I truly wasn't. I think the Rapids have a lot of talented players, and Mihailovic and Sam Vines, and even in Cole Bassley. But the biggest thing is this Nations League team, they're trying to look at another set of players, in my opinion, and I don't think the Rapids have shown enough yet, or like players on the Rapids have shown enough to crack into that pool that Berhalter's looking at. I think they're right at the edge, and maybe in a tournament next year or the Olympic qualifier for Cole, that's where we kind of see that next push for them.
Dwayne, how about you?
I agree 100%. I think this is the reason why players like Georgie have come back. You know, Bassett has been very upfront about saying, you know, he wants to get to the Olympics and want to play more national team minutes. You know, we're three games into the season now, so these guys have a lot to prove still. And it's harder to move up, you know, and it's going to take the season for them to, first of all, they have to have a great season. Because I do think that there is Rapids bias, that they're not going to get looked at simply because they are playing for the Rapids. And so I think they're going to have to work even harder to get, you know, just on the radar, you know, and to show that, hey, we deserve a look too. Hopefully they get there, you know, still super early in the season. But I think that is part of the reason why players like Stefan, Georgie, Bassett, Vines, you know, are all back in the United States, is because this is their sandbox to play and show that, hey, I've got those skills. They're not getting those minutes in Europe. They're going to get those minutes here. So if they really want to move up to that national team level, this is the spot for them to be able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby showing out early in the season, probably his best game he's had was against RSL over the weekend, playing absolutely top form. He's already broken into the Canadian team before, so it's not necessarily a surprise that he got called up. Yeah, I expect him to be playing for Canada for the next decade, probably, at this point at least, right? I mean, he's still super young, has all the skill in the world, positional versatility, can mold to whatever the Canadian coach will be, system they'll be employing. It's not always going to be the same guy, so it makes sense. Really happy for him.
That was one of my hot takes too, right before the season started, that Bombi was going to get called up to a national team, but I went a step further and I said he was going to be a starter, and I'm still 100% on that boat. I still think Bombi's going to be the guy that is going to take one of those starting spots, whether it be in the first game or if they make it to the second, to the final game, in the final game. I have such high belief in Bombi, man. He has all the attributes to be a guy, not just for the Rapids, but also for Team Canada. And you see that Canada really values that kind of length and that kind of athleticism that Bombi brings, and you can really see it. And I've brought him up multiple times. And Kone did a great job with Vancouver. He was in that team with Mihailovic where everything got sold off to Europe, and I thought they did really well. And I think that's, if you're gonna put anybody in a similar mold, it would be him.
Yeah, I mean, sky's the limit with him, right? He's gonna be a national team regular. He's already an impact MLS defender. You see our guy Mark asking if he's the next Trusty. I think his ceiling is similar or better. Trusty's been fine, but you can't say Sheffield's had a very good defense this year. I feel like every time I look up, they've allowed 5 goals. And Grant, there's a lot of reasons for that. It's not just Trusty, obviously, but I think he can contribute on a pretty high level there. As for the US guys, you see a guy like De La Torre make that midfield. You tell me Mihailovic couldn't play in that spot. Sure,
he's still killing it out in Spain, man.
You're right. But still, I just think, like, especially a relatively low impact games coming up, right? This isn't cup finals. This isn't Copa, right? This is just Nations League. I'm surprised they didn't go with any of the domestic bubble guys, right? Bringing in guys from Spain and Europe was surprising to me. But just play, right? I mean, Mihailovic, it's only been three games, but definitely hasn't totally shown it yet. So, but to me, that's kind of the next guy I see making that roster.
I think Stefan is a little bit closer, in my opinion. Just because he has that rapport with Berhalter. But, because remember, Berhalter had that. That was Berhalter's guy for multiple years. Like, that's the guy that he wanted on the squad over Matt Turner, over all these guys that were having really good years. But you're right. Mihailovic might be the guy that comes right after that because he brings something that I think a lot of players don't bring, and that's creativity. And that's really hard to find in any player, and just being able to find spaces. But how I said, like, when you have a guy like Gio Reyna, when you have even De La Torre, who is not the greatest, but he's been doing really, really well in Europe right now. You got to reward that. Yeah, Mihailovic barely started his season. He just left Europe. So I think maybe if Mihailovic can really, like, show out with the with the Rapids this year and really show what he can bring. Maybe you have him as a depth piece in that Christian Roldan, Jordan Morris role, like they had in the World Cup for the Copa America and the Gold Cup coming up.
Yeah, we'll see. It's going to take a good season, right? And that's kind of what we said all along for all those guys, for Sammy, for Cole, for Zach. You're going to have to show out. You're going to have to put up stats. You're going to have to win. And you're going to have to do it all together. Cole
put and Mark, his best. Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry, Mark. And yeah, you're right. You're just cutting off on my end. Sorry, Mitch.
That's okay. My cell phone hotspot might not be too much.
But
it's trying.
Yeah, Bombito. I was really high on Bombito, and that's one of the reasons I didn't take him in my Mike Ice draft. Because I think his ceiling is so high. I wanted to go with the dark horse. I wanted to go with somebody that might push me just over the edge. Not the greatest strategy, if you ask me, but.
Well, let's talk about that. There's a solid chance that we see Nate, right? If Bombi misses any time with the Canadian national team, Nate might jump straight into that rotation.
It's really
as hard the third guy, as the third guy.
Yeah, yeah, right? That's the thing. Because I still think Michael Edwards and Lawless are above Nate right now.
Yeah, it would be Lawless and Maxu to start.
Exactly. But I still think Michael Edwards is right there just because he's a little bit more proven. The one thing about Nate is that he does profile a little bit more like Bombi. He's big, he's built, but he's also really athletic and is willing to push the ball forward, which is something that, of course, Armis really likes.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's pretty interesting. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Luckily, you know, I do like the Lawless Maxu pairing at least enough to fill in. I don't like it as a season-long projection, but I like it enough to kind of fill in the gaps as needed. Hopefully Canada goes in, takes care of business. He gets back ASAP, doesn't miss a ton of time. But yeah, let's any other thoughts on the news roundup or anything we missed in that little bit of transactional news there, guys?
One real quick is, what the hell are you not calling up Omir for, Mexico? You have no wingers that are reliable. You need creativity. What are you doing, dude? Like, throw shit at the wall. This team sucks. Throw shit at the wall, and Omir's a great throw guy to just ride with for a little bit, see what's going on. Even if it's depth and trying to find out what's going on.
He told us he wants to play for Mexico. He told
him, dude, Omir and Santi up top, dude, give me it. With Lozano on the other side, I'm all in.
I don't want Mexico to be better, so I hope he doesn't take you up on that. All right, we're going to jump into some injury news here and kind of help set ourselves up for the next couple games and preview in Seattle. And we will do that right after this short break. And we're back. Welcome back to DNVR Rapids. Mitch, Wayne, Yaya, Super Producer Tiff on the ones and twos. Welcome back. Beautiful snow day here in Colorado. Dwayne, is that in Arizona?
It is.
Wow. Old school. I love it. Still 99 cents. Inflation can't beat it. Can't beat
89 Arizona. Cents this week local King Supers.
Wow. That's awesome. Let's talk injuries. Connor Ronan comes out in the 11th minute, went down before that, tried to get treatment, sub him out. Looking about 6 to 8 weeks was the estimate we saw reported online in the last couple days. Where do you want to start with this? Yeah, you threw this into the rundown. I didn't even think of it.
Wow.
Lots of talk about today.
Just one of your starting players out for
just when you start, look. What's going on? No, I mean, it is interesting, right? You saw Loffelson come in and play. He played about 70 minutes, came subbed out at the end. You know, you have Diak, who's played with R2 and has trained with the first team for the last couple weeks. You obviously have seen you've seen Ollie, you know, being a full-time player now. Where do you think they go with this? Is it just we saw Loffelson play, we're going to see Loffelson start, or how do you guys feel about that?
Man, we talked about this in the post game, right? And my whole thing was, if you're able to put Cole as that eight, leave Ollie as your six, who's a little bit more physical, and then bring in Cole as your 10, Mihaljevic as your 10, think that's the ideal midfield, if I'm honest. I think Cole's really good at carrying the ball, which is what you need from an eight. And he's not good at breaking the line with passes or finding the right gap. But he's really good at finding the right gap when he has the ball and he has to carry it the next step. But bringing him in and then having Omir and Calvin being your wings, I think would be the way to go. I wouldn't be surprised if Wayne Frederick would come in as a rotation piece as well, just for that one reason that you've heard from Tommy Scoops talking about how they're so high on him in that pre-sale trade.
Has he made the 18 yet, even though?
He hasn't yet. He hasn't. And this is all speculation. This is me just reading between the lines.
That caught me off guard.
No, again, it was just they believe in Wayne so much. They took him over Kimani Stewart-Bates in the Adidas generation. They took him over Nate Jones, the guy that they ended up trading for. Like, this is their first draft pick. You guys got to remember that. This is a guy they're really, really high on, and they see him being a piece of the Rapids for a long term. I haven't heard anything about Frederick.
I haven't heard either. He was knocked up in camp, I think, but
yeah,
I think he's fine.
Nothing major, because like, he has had a couple Rapids 2 games, and he, according to our reports, he's played really well. But I think I wouldn't be surprised of that, but I also wouldn't be surprised if Diak just kind of comes in, takes that spot, and you have Ronan and Ollie fighting for one spot at the end of the season.
I think ideally you see Loftelson start, play 60, and then you get 30 minutes of Diak.
Yeah.
Diak, right? Like that. To me, that makes the most sense, right? You're running out of games on Lamine's loan, right? So you got to start seeing him at some point. If Ronan's out, you're running out of midfielders, especially once you traded away Ralph. And I think trading Ralph this week, even knowing – I mean, that transaction went through post-injury, right? So you kind of think, okay, well, they have enough guys to withstand an injury in a game, right? Like they have a guy they're comfortable with. If someone gets hurt in the 10th minute, like happened, then they're good to go. That means I would say it's Lamine time at least to be in the 18. And I don't know that. I'm not reporting that. I'm just kind of reading the tea leaves there. I mean, I hope it is though, because I want to see Lamine, man. I'm ready. Dwayne, how are you feeling about this midfield rotation right now?
I agree with you. as long as Ollie's healthy, I'm not too worried with this Ronan injury. It's a bummer. You know, I think we're looking at probably a May return, you know. So until then, I'm with you, Mitch. Like, I want to see Giak in there. I would love to see him starting this week.
Whoa.
That's all based on fitness, right? You know, like, but we're not playing at Elevation this weekend. We're playing away. If he's at fitness level, you know, and obviously Armas and Porg feel good about where he's at, you know, from a fitness level and fitting into the system, we're running out of time to see what we got in him. So you've got a banged up Seattle team. It's early in the season. You know, yes, they're one of the top teams in the league, but they're a little beaten up. It's early in the season. To me, this is the time where you take advantage of early season and teams that are dealing with injuries. So, and a lot of those injuries are in the attacking side of the field. So if he's ready, I would like to see him start and see what we get. If not, yep, then I love your idea too of, you know, starting Jasper there, and you know, we sub him in for second half for last 30 minutes and see what, at least get him some minutes. But it would be nice to see even just some minutes, you know, just to see. None of us know what we have in Lamine yet, except for the club, you know. So I mean, the club obviously, because of that, is the one who's going to make the decision. But I'm just excited to see the dude play, you know, and now that we have some injuries that are starting to happen, that's why we've built this depth. It's not like crisis mode to lose a player like Ronan right now because of the depth we built. So, you know, it's time, you know, if he's ready to go, I'd love to see him start.
The only reason I would hold back on that, and then yeah, I'll let you get in on this, but I'd say Jasper was very involved in both the Mexico and Orlando games in preseason. And then he played 80 here just now, or 70. And in this system specifically, those passing networks are so important off of those turnovers that I don't know how well Lamine fits into that, especially as the guy creating turnovers on that back end and starting those breaks. So I would say if he is completely fit and sold, you know, I only saw him, I've only been to one practice that he's been at. So, you know, I can't speak fully to how he's fitting in. Maybe he's fully fitting in and knows the system is ready to go. And if that's the case, definitely start him. But I would say let him be, I mean, he hasn't even been on the bench for a game yet. Let him be there with the assistant coaches, seeing the flow of the game, hearing feedback on what's working and what's not from, the assistants around him. And then when it's time to see what he has, go play 30 minutes of all out defense. Just go nuts. Yeah. See what you
good
got.
Point. Good point.
No. And yeah, I mean, the way that Lamine profiles is as a disruptor, right? If that's that's a guy that's going to try to get in and put some tackles. My biggest fear with him, and that's something we talked about, that I do love how physical he is when it comes down to getting the ball. My biggest issue when I see him have the ball is that he gets pushed off too quickly. That's something that Seattle's really good at too. Like, they have really physical midfielders. They have people that are really quick and can really transition as quickly as the Rapids can, which is my one fear with this team. I think you have to play it by matchup. This might be one of those, especially if you're away, that you play transition, but you do kind of bunker down a little bit more on a low block instead of such a high press, or such a, just so you can create a little bit of more of a counterattack instead of a high pressing system where you try to get turnovers on their final third. I think that might be the way to go, especially because I think you can maybe not beat Nohu, but Nohu is going to be pushing up a lot more, trying to be more offensive. You can definitely get him off guard. Especially if you have wingers like Leo Chu who are, and Jordan Morris who are just speed demons. I think being on the lower block and putting in a Jasper in would be the way to go. But you're right. I think it's time to see Lamine Diak, and that's a point that you only have so many more times left. I don't know which one of you said it, but you only have so much time before you have to evaluate what he is and if you want to get that loan option or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an – you know, I mean, honestly, the Ronan injury is the best thing that happened in terms of evaluating Lamine, because that pushes Ollie into that Ronan role, which we've kind of talked about, is they sort of do have overlap in their skill sets, right? They kind of play a similar game. Maybe Ollie's a little more aggressive physically, but, you know, they're both creators. They both kind of like to operate from the same parts of the field. So that – allows Lamine and Jasper both to really play that six and see what you have between those two, right? Maybe Jasper just fits the system so well and he has that dog in him so much that Lamine, okay, short-term loan, whatever. We don't need to keep him, right? Could be not. I don't know. But I never like injuries, but it is kind of convenient for those two in terms of a position battle that that one of the mainstays in the midfield rotation is out. Right. So,
yeah. And injuries always bad. Like, there's the one thing you got to be aware of. Injuries can help you lose your spot. And let's say Jack or Ollie just rise to the occasion and take over that spot. You're going to have a competition in that midfield between Ronan, who was a mainstay last year and probably the best acquisition the Rapids made in the last 2 years so far, besides this last market. And that's a guy that's been great for the Rapids. But again, injuries can cause you to lose your spot. You've seen it all over the world. It happens all the time. If other players step up, Ronan might be in a fight for his own position.
Totally. You put a note in here, Yaya, and I want to let you cook on it, because you said culture shift. You said you want to talk culture shift. Now, I think I know where you're going with it, but I'm going to let you start off with this, and me and Dwayne will chime in to wrap up this segment.
So one reason I wanted to throw that in there is because the Rapids have a culture of losing, of being complete utter losers. We all know this as fans. Like, we do. Like, it's completely true. Like, we can hide from it, but we have to be completely honest about it. And it's time to have a culture shift in Colorado. And I don't know if this is the place to start or the place to – or the place that's going to shift it to be in a winning mentality or rely, hey, we're not complete utter losers mentality. But this win in RSL, man, You saw all the guys afterwards cheering, hugging Aramis, congratulating him. They walk up to the fans that are out there in American First Field. God, that sounds disgusting.
Gross.
And they clapped him out. They got the scarf and put it out for the fans. And to me, that felt like a time where, all right, see guys, if you guys listen to me, we can be winners and we can turn things around, not just for us, but for everybody that's a fan of this team. And that seemed like a huge shift from where the team has and what has been the last 2-3 years.
More like America's worst field.
Huh? Hey, yo.
No, you're right. You're right. And we've seen it. We've seen it in a lot of things. We've seen players being more like just kind of following the more traditional footy route on social. You see guys like Zach, you know, putting up pictures of you know, of them and other players on the field saying thanking the fans. You know, just sort of on to the next. They're meaningless, really. They're posts that don't say anything, but it's just like more engaging. It's more putting themselves out there. It's more bringing in fans. You see a happy team at training more than you did last year. Last year it was like freaking death march over from the locker room over the training field, and it just looked so sad, and no one was laughing. And you see it everywhere, right? It's very noticed and it's immediate, and that's without results, right? I mean, it's with one result, but if they find something, I mean, that's where you like the idea of a way higher ceiling this year than last year. Even like talent, whatever coming in, it's not that the Rapids didn't have talent when they were bad the last 2 years, right? You had guys like Diego Rubio and you can't say there was no talent, but if you hate going to work, you're not going to win. You know, you're not going to play well together. So I think we really saw it there at the end, right? People celebrating Cole and celebrating the fans that made it out to Sandy, unfortunately had to go to Sandy, Utah. I don't know. Dwayne, what are you seeing in the culture realm over there?
I mean, there's been a change ever since Aramis got here, you know, just not even with the locker room, but just in the positivity that you hear from the club. You know, one with just the access to Aramis, you know, him being at, you know, the Celtic with C38 and him being at DMVR bar, and up in the studio with us and him wearing a C38 scarf at all the matches, you know, C38 pin during the, media day presser, they're clearly at least, I think the club is, but certainly from Aramis's point, he knows where the fans are right now after the last couple seasons. He started to make those changes in, you know, how the coach interacts with the fans and the media in the off season. The club started making changes with the roster in the off season. You know, you see the players seem to take it differently. A lot of that, I think, comes from Cole Bassett. I do think that his voice is very present in that locker room, especially for things like last week with how important it is to play against RSL. And, you know, a lot of these guys are brand new. They didn't grow up here. And I think you have that homegrown voice from Cole. Probably from Sam and from Ollie and Yappy as well. But, you know, we heard it last year towards the end of the season with Cole. And I think he's carrying that over to share with some of the new players. There's just a different feeling. There's a different culture in general. And now it's on the players. It's on the club to start to change the MLS culture and how they think about the Rapids, you know. I saw someone on Twitter this morning, you know, complaining about MLS doing a 30-minute show and spending about 10 seconds on the Rapids. And I'm like, yeah, that sucks, but it's like, I mean, we've not earned it, you know. Like, just because we beat RSL last week doesn't mean that we earn headline status or really a bunch of minutes on MLS podcasts or anywhere else. You know, I hate that as much as anybody else, but you got to earn it, man. And so these are the first stages of this club starting to earn that attention from national media and from the MLS. You know, like I think we can all agree, and maybe not, maybe this is just a Dwayne take. I don't think the MLS likes the Colorado Rapids.
I don't think so either. And
so this is a time for, you know, it's very much a Colorado versus everyone, you know, and it has been for a long time. Unfortunately, everyone seems to have been winning that battle for the last several years. And maybe this is the year that Colorado starts to win that battle between Colorado versus everyone. And I think that's going to change the national culture.
I think the culture, you know, this whole like no one pays attention to us, no one talks about us, it's not a gripe, right? It feels more now like a try and not talk about us, right? Like that was the performance in Salt Lake, right? And
exactly.
Granted, like you said, it's not enough to break into those, you know, into an extra time segment or anything like that. But they kicked ourselves ass in that second half. There was Arsenal was not comfortable. They did not get good looks. They had that one big chance in the second half. That was it. It was a physical domination. And I think that's kind of where this something to prove FC thing is coming into play is like, hey, we are really good. Like we have talent across the board. We have physicality across the board and we're going to make you talk about us. Now they have to go and win. Right. So let's not get too ahead of ourselves, but it really does feel like there's a, you're not going to be able to not talk about us kind of attitude.
Yep.
100%.
Winning changes that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing, just like you said.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing with all of this. No, all good. And it does help when you have a player like Bomby being called up to a Nations League tournament where everybody's calling up the best players so they can compete in this. It gives some legitimacy to the Rapids. And I think Armas has done a really good job. Again, I might not agree 100% on his tactics or what he's trying to do, and that's completely fine. I'm not a professional coach. He is. People should trust him because he does that for a living. I don't. But the one thing that you cannot underestimate about Armas is the way he has come in here. He has won everybody over in that club, from player to kid manager all the way to the front office, and that's exactly what I'm from a coach, a leader. People kept making fun of him that he's Ted Lasso. And you know what? He might be Ted Lasso. But if that makes the Rapids a champion, are you really complaining? If that makes the Rapids relevant, are you going to complain? You're not. You just want it. You want somebody that's going to come in here and care about the club the way that Chris has come in here and cared about the club.
100%. 100%. Hopefully we see some advancements with the showing this weekend. And we'll get into the Seattle game right after this short break. And we're back. Welcome back to DNVR Rapids podcast. Mitch, Dwayne, Yaya, super producer Tiff on the ones and twos. It's a beautiful day here in Colorado, guys. The snow has not stopped this entire time. It's a little distracting because I keep thinking some giant branch is going to come down outside my window. we got a game this weekend. We got an early game this weekend, 1:30 Mountain Time kickoff in Seattle. Last year, of course, started in Seattle with the infamous 4-0 destruction. The one thing I remember from that is Yappy put one off the crossbar in like the second minute.
Yeah.
And I think by not bouncing in and by bouncing out, the rest of the season was cursed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I remember that as that and the Gershbaugh game.
Mm-hmm.
Those mm-hmm. are the only two things I remember from that game. Everything was, I blacked out.
There was no Rubio. There was no Price.
Rubio was in our comments, too, after the game.
Yeah, he was not happy that we were blaming anybody in particular. Although it was not Wallace's best game. I still will stand by that. Sorry, Diego, if you're listening.
That's true.
there was bad turnovers. I mean, it was like everything that everyone complains about the roster, right, in terms of – poor turnovers in the midfield, just giving up after it goes against you, right? Just kind of letting the game be over. Everything you could point to could be summed up in the first game of last season. So I think it's a completely different vibe. I think it's a completely different team. You have all players minus Ronan right? But I don't think Ronan is going to be as critical as missing Ruby on Price is, right? So, Dwayne, if you're looking at this game, if you're looking at Rapids coming off a road win, which was a rarity over the last couple of years, confidence level, where are we talking here, right? Are 5, 7, 2? I wouldn't blame you.
Hey, if we win, we will be tied with our road wins from last year. So
in just the third game,
I think that's correct.
I think that's correct too.
I don't like it, but you know, hey, it's a different year. I'll be honest, you know, I think most of the world is calling for Seattle to have a fairly easy win on this one. I'm just not convinced of that. And this is why. One, you know, and again, you have to take this with a grain of salt. We're playing against a team with some injuries and some pretty big injuries.
Yeah, Stephen Fry didn't practice. I think Ladero didn't practice. I'll look it up.
Well, yeah, Pedro de la Vega is out for a while. So, anyway, I think you got the injuries. You know, again, you could point back to, well, you know, there were a lot of injuries for Portland as well, and that didn't look very good. But I just think this is an opportunity. Again, it's an early season game. They missed a game last week versus Union. So that's, again, you know, some early season stuff that they did not get. They've got injuries. On the flip side of that coin, this is a team that is pretty much the same as last year. So it's not like a Rapids where early season matters because you've got so much, you know, so many new players that have to figure it out. There are a lot of returners, you know, for the Seattle team. So they don't need that kind of gelling season as much as we do. But still, you got to look at these injuries, man. You got to look at Ladero being gone. You got to look at some big question marks at their 10, you know, for who's going to be the playmaker. And those all just say opportunity to me. Especially with this new high press, you figure because they play a pretty deep defense there, it's going to be back to that high press. We've looked better the last couple of games than that. So swarming. I don't know, man. Like,
I would say swarming.
Yeah, at the end of that game. Yeah, and so it's just, I don't know, man. I'm just because I'm a homer and whatever, but I'm feeling pretty comfy about it. I'm not saying it's a guaranteed win. I think it's going to, you know, this is not good. Nothing is going to be easy for the Rapids. As much as the Rapids improved in the offseason, so did the rest of the MLS mm-hmm. West. You know, nothing's going to be easy, but the difference is it's not an automatic loss mm-hmm. like we would have thought last year. Like, I do think that there's a lot of opportunities to surprise this team.
Here's the update, training update. Shout out to Sounder at Heart, one of the true independent soccer sites, one of the SB Nation leftovers. Sounder at Heart. I mean, where else would you go for Seattle news besides Sounder at Heart?
True.
Stephen Fry and Joao Paulo did not practice. Those are, I was like, whatever, Stephen Fry. But I do think those are two big missing names. I'll let you get on that in a second, Yaya. Let's see. Reed Baker, Whiting, and Bradillo Rodriguez are also out. And Nathan is not back from Brazil for green card purposes. Right? So that said,
it's opportunities, man.
Rusnak is likely to make his debut this weekend, according to Sounder at Heart. But they've only scored one goal in two games, and it was from the penalty spot, right? So you have a team without some pieces, you have a team integrating some pieces, and you have another team who just picked up their biggest win in 2 years maybe, arguably, maybe not, but one of their most important win in 2 years. So yeah, how are you feeling about that based on what we all just laid out, what the state of these teams going into this game is?
I don't think it matters. I think missing those guys is not going to be that huge. For the Nathan's one reason that
missing one to me, but yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not saying like, oh my God, they mean nothing. I'm just saying this Seattle team still has so much more talent. Correct. They have Ober Verga, they have Leo Chu, they have Jordan Morris, Christian Roldan, you got Nohu, Xavier Arriaga. Like, you have these guys who are proven guys that if you have to move some pieces around, and then with Rusnak coming back, like, that's another piece that you can just throw in there. I still think they're really good. Have they shown out as good as they should have? No. Are they still one of the better teams in the West? Hell yeah, I think that.
Did we all have them first?
I think so.
Yeah. But they stink.
Yeah. This is going to be their third game. The Rapids didn't find their true footing until the second half of this RSL game. Mm-hmm. That's when you saw them actually dominate a game. They haven't had that chance yet. Teams are still getting adjusted. They're still trying to get there. I think the second half of this game is going to be really competitive. Playing Seattle in Lumen Field, it's no joke. The Rapids lost to them 2 years ago when they were down 10 men to 10 men, and the Rapids still lost 2-1 after having that lead.
Oh, that was on that crazy J-Lew goal in like the third minute or something too.
Exactly. I'm telling you, man, this team is still full of talent. Like, there's no reason to underestimate them. Fry, I don't think is that huge of a deal, if I'm honest. Like, goalies in general, as long as they just don't give you the mistake, they're fine. You saw it with Beavers. Beavers did well out of the academy for the RSL. But I think at the end of the day, it comes down to, can the Rapids hold a guy like Nohu and Leo Chu to not burn Keegan Rosenberry, which you saw they did against Anthony did in Portland. Are you able to withstand the pressure they're going to try to get that early goal? And then if you can you come in that second half or come in later in the game and capitalize on the very few opportunities that you have? And that's going to come down to guys like Rafa, Mihailovic, and Calvin Harris, or whoever's starting, or Cole, to get that goal, make yourself feel more comfortable, and be able to play your game and try to get Sounders to play the game that you want to play. Because again, man, the Sounders love to press high. They love to go up and try to get that ball in your own defensive third, and you can't allow that because they do have the speed to burn you. And that's exactly what the Rapids have struggled with so far this year, a speedy winger. You saw it with Andre Gomez, you saw it with Anthony. Fortunately, Nashville didn't have anybody, but even saw it in the second half when Schoppelberg came in. He was burning through that left side of that field. So you just got to be careful that these guys can't come in and get you in a quick counter and give them an early goal where they feel comfortable when you start playing what they want.
If you guys had to pick a Rapid who maybe hasn't had their A game yet, right, who would you choose for this to be the blank breakout game? Dwayne, go ahead. You're first.
Georgie.
Yeah. I just think we all have the same guy.
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Dwayne, I have the same guy as you, but go ahead. Cook on Georgie. I thought we were all just going to be like, Georgie, easy. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we've all been waiting for the Georgie game. And, you know, as we talked in the post game, you know, after RSL, it's not all on Georgie, right? You know, it's the same thing with Rafa. It's like, gotta get him the ball. And so if we can get Georgie the ball, then it's on him to make that move. Sorry, my dog is wanting attention now.
Who does Rocket think is going to break this game?
That's a question. He just wants to know what kind of snacks they serve. That's really all he cares about. But I think it's him, right? You know, so this is the high press is going to be right out of the gate, because this is a 4-4-2 Seattle that's going to play deep defense when they're on defense, you know, looking for that transition. And so it's not going to be easy to get through that. And I think the magic is going to have to come from Georgie to get the ball into Rafa. You know, I mean, that's another story, but we're just focusing on Georgie right now. But this could be his game. You know, if we get him the ball, he creates those moments, and he finds the creativity that we know he has to be able to service the ball in. That's good. It's needed. It's not even needed. It's necessary if we want to win. It's just got to happen. Whether he gets the ball to, you know, whether it's coming over to Bassett or it's coming over to Rafa, but it's like it can't be last year of servicing the ball in, you know, with your eyes closed and praying that someone is there to get it. Like, it has to be purposeful this time. Georgie is the guy who can be purposeful. He's got that talent and skill there. So a lot of this game offensively is going to be riding on his shoulders, I think.
When I rewatched the RSL game, the one thing I noticed is when the ball got out to the wing, whether it was from the two-man game, like Cole and Sammy gives it off to Sammy on the wing, there are three options running into that box. Not always spaced great, because I think they're still figuring out who needs to fill what lane, but there are options in there. So I think this is exactly the Georgie game. I think we're finally going to get that Georgie assist where we're all like, oh, shit. Like, this is the guy. Like, this is that dude. Because he hasn't had an A game yet. I think he's had B games every game. I think he's been good. You know, there's nothing to complain about, sure. But he hasn't made that truly game-deciding play that we know he's capable of and that that he has a track record of in the MLS. And I think you're just getting more and more comfortable. I think having just one of Ronan and Ollie together is going to really help him, because I think there's just going to be more open spaces in that central midfield where it's going to be one pass away now, right? Like, you saw a lot of overlap with Ollie, Cole, and Ronan kind of almost running into each other at times in these early goings. So pulling Loftus-Cheek or Diak, whoever starts at that six back, and letting those guys kind of cook into space, I think is key. And I think Georgie's going to have some fun. I don't know if that means a win, which we'll get into here in a sec, but I do think it's good. Yeah, who are you calling for a breakout?
So I was like stuck between three guys, honestly, and I know a majority, none of them. It was Rafa, because I need him to get going. That's a guy that needs to score from up and play. The other one was Bassett, who I think needs to find his footing and where he's going to fit in with Jordy and Rafa and what he's going to be doing. But I'm actually going to go with Keegan Rosenberry. I think Keegan Rosenberry, it's going to be asked to do a lot this game. He's going to have a tall task in front of him. And I think it's going to come up to him if the Rapids win or lose. And it comes down to, you know us. We call him Mr. Rapid. He is the Keegan. He is the guy for the Rapids. He is the leader. I need Keegan to go out there and put his foot down on anything that comes down his wing and just close that wing off completely. It's just so necessary. I think offensively he's been good. He hasn't been able to push the ball up like usually does, because he has to push back a little bit more, make sure that nobody's beating him that back end. I need Keegan to be on it, because if you walk out with a 0-0 draw, that's great. Congrats. If you come out with a 1-0 loss, I think it's going to come from that side of the field. Again, I have so much faith in their attack, and I just need Keegan to step it up a little bit more and make sure that whole side of the field is shut down. Offensively, I didn't go with none of the guys up there because I think they've been creating chances. It's just going to come down to them scoring. They've done a good job of creating opportunities. Defensively is the one place that I'm just worried, and I think Keegan's the last guy that, and especially because you've seen him kind of go on a downward spiral a little bit the last season and a little bit this season, where he's been burnt a little bit more than we're used to. He's fallen back a little bit more than we're used to, and I think it's just him kind of like, okay, turning back the clock one more time and trying to be that guy for the Rapids.
Well, that leads me into my next question. I was going to ask you, you said 0-0, and then you said 1-1. Do you think anybody scores this weekend? We're just going to go predictions here. You're up first, Yaya. What do you think this game's going to be?
I'm going to go with the 1-0 win. I think they squeak it out with the last
minute.
I think it's going to be a really low block from the Rapids. At least I think it should be. I think there should be a look into a counter. And I think they're good at absorbing pressure so far. you saw it with Nashville when they had to absorb. They absorbed good when they had to absorb against Hartsdale. The counters were right there. That should be the way to go away against one of the best teams in the league. In that stadium, it should be something that you're aiming for, a low-scoring game.
Dwayner.
I have struggled on this one.
Too hard there, buddy.
I'm gonna ride my prediction from last week, and I'm gonna stick with the 2-1 Rapids.
Wow.
And I do think a lot of this, like I think what Yaya said is really, really critical with Keegan. I think Seattle normally attacks from the right side, you know, and they'll use the Roldan Bros connection to come down that right side. But I think with Sammy Vines there, that creates a bit more of a problem, you know, and so I think they may go the same way as Portland did and really try to make that long pass, you know, over to the left side and get Keegan, you know, kind of out of position, not out of position, but just really far up. Yeah, just because of how the Rapids play now, then it really comes down to a sprint race, you know, and that speed, you know, is that's game winner on that side. So if this is the breakout game that Yaya needs from Keegan, then I think we can spend a lot more time on offense, you know, and then I think two goals is possible. Especially if it's the Georgie, you know, connection finally happens. I think Cole is looking really good right now. Not just on shots, but, you know, also just in playmaking. So I don't think it's impossible to put up two goals. You know, and we don't know what they have at goalkeeper right now. I'm kind of with Yaya. I don't think Fries is all that, you know. I think they're in the same spot either way with their backup or with him. So I think two goals is possible, man. If we can shut it down on defense, you know, we'll see. I mean, we'll see how Lawless plays and, you know, I don't know. I'm just going to stick with it. Screw the, you know, MLS haters and everybody who's not going to be picking the Rapids. I'm picking the Rapids.
I agree that I think they can score two goals. I see this offense traveling well, doesn't matter where. What I don't see is this defense ready to travel. And I don't, you know, they did put up a nice game, but I think there's a lot of rivalry juice there. I think they're, you know, I don't know how much of that you can carry over to a hostile environment. Seattle's really good. This is the first time they've played in the last, you know, since the start of 22, where I feel like physically, just physicality, athleticism, the Rapids aren't completely at a major disadvantage in this game, which is something to me, right? Like that matter, that goes a long way in being able to predict this game. I think it's 2-2. I think we get a Rafa goal from open play, like our guy Kevin wants there in the chat. And I think it's going to be a set piece. I'm going to say Max, who gets one on a header, because he's just a giant and it's easier for giants to score headers on set pieces than everybody else.
Great aerial numbers, by the way, from Bombi and Maxu offensively and defensively. So
yeah, they've been in control.
And air and set pieces, they're guys that are taking care of business, though.
So. Yeah, I mean, I think Sharky's due for probably begging these guys to score on one of these set pieces he draws up. So maybe we get it. Anything else, guys? That was a lot of information. There was a lot of stuff in one show. Did we miss anything? I'm sure there's something obvious. I think we hit it all. You got anything?
Yeah. I think we're good.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing with the rest of your snow day? What is a typical snow day for you guys? Snow angels, snowmen?
Work.
Work and cuddle inside to a good movie, and that's about it. That's what I'm doing.
I wish I could watch a movie. I have to read a stupid book because I don't need power.
I would enjoy that if I knew how to read.
Wow. I'll teach you. It's okay.
Finally, somebody
does. Ricardo, probably. I'm not sure yet. We'll see. you know, probably is my answer, but who knows. All right, yeah, that, you know what that means. You got to plug us out of here, my guy.
DNV_Rapids, wherever you're on Twitter, please follow us there. We'd really appreciate it. 5-star review wherever you hear us. That shows just people are listening to us. We are a podcast, so if you're never able to catch a live show, you can always come in and listen to us on your commute into work or out of work, or even when you're showering. I'd really appreciate that as well. give this video a like. And subscribe to our video, please. We'd really appreciate it. To our channel, we'd really appreciate all that. That'll just show support for our that you guys are supporting us in everything we do.
Yeah, please like and subscribe. It goes a long way. Dwayne, what else did he miss there?
Oh man, what did he miss?
Oh, I know. Hang on, Dwayne Get dropped some new merch. Over at 96originals.com.
Oh, yeah. Jump in, man.
Real salty tears.
Real salty tears. There's no reason to stop enjoying that win. And more importantly, enjoying the Salt Lake loss. You can't have an L without Salt Lake.
True.
Big loss. Big sad moments on their Twitter Saturday. As I was trying to fall asleep, just some great reading. So why not celebrate it with a nice comfy tea that makes fun of our not friends in Real Salt Lake. But more important than that, Mitch,
yeah,
is about all these dope shirts we've got over in the locker. Tell us more about that.
That's the dmvrlocker.com, man. We got Nugget stuff. Look, I got my Aaron Gordon shirt on. Dwayne has his Team Letters hoodie on. We got all sorts of stuff. We're trying to clear out space because I have to pack up the entire locker and ship it to a warehouse in a couple weeks. Yaya's wearing his Con McCarr shirt. We got everything to gear up for Avs and Nuggets playoff pushes for Rockies opening day. We're going to have some new opening day stuff coming out, which is going to be pretty cool. I've seen it. It's pretty cool. So keep an eye out there. If you come down to a watch party for Nuggets or Avs coming up, it's always buy one, get one half off. If you come down to the bar, you know, we can always help you out there. March Madness is coming up, so make sure you come out to the bar there. And if you are at the bar and you're a diehard, you get 15% off your tab. Yeah, that's basically like a free beer. If you girl math it, that's free beer.
Could you get a free t-shirt?
Oh, and you get a free t-shirt when you sign up. You get a free t-shirt every year. You get discounts in the locker, discounts on events, early access to events. You get all sorts of stuff. It's 100% worth it, and it goes to supporting the three of us here, Tiff on the ones and twos, the entire cast and crew over at DNVR, and all city at large. So if you can, become a diehard. It goes a long way for us. We really appreciate it. More important than all of that, with a big old 1:30 p.m. start time this Saturday, which means early winner's lounge, it's up the pits.